Welcome back to Super Tuesday Recap. It's your host, Chris and D-Pom here, and we're here to review Season 8, Episode 4 of Arrow, present tense. I'm just going to say, Oliver, that is your daughter.
Is that your synopsis? Is that your preview?
That's my preview. That's your daughter. That's obviously your daughter.
Don't call it a remake. This is the remix. This is the second time they've used this title card.
Is it present tense? Present. When did they use it before?
The Andy Diggle season.
The which one?
The Diggle season. Andy Diggle.
Oh, that makes sense. Because he brought up Andy. They brought up Andy. Yeah.
And this is my favorite episode of the season so far, because like every other episode, it mines kind of the history of the show. But this one, like, using the title card, using the brother relationship, using, obviously, Deathstroke's, going to the future, talking about William. Like, this takes all those, like, we're going to touch these things for the past and make something that's so unique and new for this show after 8 seasons. Like, the fact that I can say this is something I'd never seen on the Arrow before and be 100% serious about it is crazy to me.
Yeah.
This show.
They're going out, and they're going out with their best season. So
don't cancel it now, baby.
Right. He's like, wait, maybe we gotta. Yo, Steven, you sure you wanna go? You sure you wanna leave at this point? Because, there's so much that they packed into this. There's so much packed into this episode, right? There's so many little things in here. Just the idea of getting, you know, because again, we spent the last 3 episodes with Oliver realizing, you know, even if you go back to the last season, Oliver leaving his family, leaving his daughter, the rest of the team not knowing that, other than Diggle knowing he has a daughter, to go and basically save the universe. And here he's faced with his son, William, and his daughter that he hasn't seen since he left her, Mia, you know, as grown as adults right here in front of him, you know? And it's funny seeing everybody go and look at how Mia reacts and goes, oh yeah, that's your daughter. Yeah, she's yeah.
I hadn't seen her first, but now basically always saying fuck you to everyone all episode. Like, all right, I get it, I'm a dickhead. I get it.
When Laura,
stop saying it. When I understand.
When they finally came clean with all the information, were you ever planning on sharing this information with the rest of us? And Mia just like, no. Yeah, she's clearly your daughter. That's all on you. Before we get into like the bigger plot things, there are the little moments I've really enjoyed. Like, for instance, the idea of Felicity and Oliver always knew that Willem was gay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man.
Like, that was a good one. With him coming out and Oliver's going, oh, yeah, we knew. We just kind of figured that you would come and tell us at the right moment when you feel comfortable doing that.
The thing I love even more is that Amel didn't deliver the line reading in kind of a matter of fact way we knew. It was very subtly played. Like, it was done in such a way that it felt like a father and a son.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, again, you know, they give Stephen Amell a lot of, and like, I've seen him outside of Arrow, and he can be kind of stiff. However, he's grown into this character. Like, he is Oliver Queen.
This character he gets. He can act his ass off as Oliver Queen. I can't speak to the rest of it. Yeah. Oliver Queen, this motherfucker gets it.
Yeah, this Oliver Queen, he acts his ass off. He gets there. That was a really good, touching moment. And just all his moments with his kids were great. They were all, like, felt like, you know, moments of, you can see part of it in the back of his mind, him going like, God damn it. This is me. I'm talking to a fucking mirror. But I gotta be the adult here. Like when Mia was basically like, you're gonna fight me? It's like, I'm not gonna fight my daughter. Although in the back of your mind, you can see in the back of his head going, I will murder you. Like you could see he had that thought in the back of his head. He was like, I was trained by Nissa Al-Ghul. He was like, I've beat Nissa Al-Ghul. What are you doing?
But he didn't say it. He's like,
no, he didn't say it, right?
Get it off your chest. You clearly got something on your heart. Get it off.
But no, that was...
What you're not going to do is swing on me.
But that made that so subtle and so good, right? Because you could see the wheels turning in his brain going, and?
But all he's thinking is, it's not about winning the argument. It's about getting through your daughter. It's not about winning the argument. He's like, I can win this argument. Oh, you mean Nissa? And...
It was growth. It was growth. It was like, oh wow, Oliver the Dead has grown, and man, I just
They said it couldn't be done, didn't they, Oliver?
Right. They said it couldn't be done,
but you showed them, motherfucker. You showed them Oliver Queen.
Oh man, it was so good. Every time I was just like, oh man, he's a good dad, man.
Because you know, part of him was like, square the fuck up.
Right? No, he was, yo.
That's, you know, part of him was like, yo, square the fuck. No, 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 no. Stop. Fuck listen, that frail shit.
Listen, I know you're my daughter, but we can shoot the fair one. I mean, if we just need to do it,
we can solve this right now.
Listen, we're queens. This is what we do. Like, this is called a queen.
That's how we communicate as a family.
This is a queen. This is a queen
Williams
disagreement.
Of smoke. You're right. A queen. You want right. to do this?
Oh man, yo, that's.
Williams' mama got blown up on an island. That was on me.
Right. Right.
And I like the fact that he's confronted with you never see him again. Like the idea that when he sent him off to his grandparents, because we knew it watching the show.
Right.
But Ollie never really confronted that, oh, I'm never going to see my son again.
Yeah. No. And so like all those things that we kind of were thinking about, and we kind of see here, and the fact that they, again, we're kind of skipping over some stuff, but even the fact that they don't go back right away at the end of this episode, you're like, okay. So then it also gives you this thing of, because we've dealt with time travel before, it's like, how much of the past are they changing? Are they changing the future when they, like,
oh, you got to remember, something's going to happen where all this either gets erased or the future gets changed, because Dinah and Snitch Boy did not know me existed in the future.
Right. Right. So we've already changed things around here. So
we changed things.
We've already done that. So, I mean, what we're going to do, I do also got to say, how are we going to skip over the fact that Renee was a corrupt politician?
And he wasn't like, I could never.
And nobody else was like, no, not Renee.
He's not built like that. Nope, no one. Not a one.
Everybody's just kind of glossed over that. Like everyone,
and he's corrupt. Well, of course he's. I mean,
of course. I mean, you're gonna, you know, yeah. You become mayor, and you're a corrupt mayor, and you're like, yada yada yada, and everybody's like, oh, okay,
yada,
cool.
Yada, yada, exactly.
So what about the Deathstrokes again? I just appreciate that we're all on the same page about how, like, everybody is. It's a known fact that Renee is trash. I do wish that somebody had told him that he had a terrible wig in the future, though.
But that's the shit you can't change.
Right. No matter what happens.
Like, be a better person. How's my hairline? There's only ask questions we can't fix.
Yeah, there's only two things that remain true.
We're time travelers, not miracle workers, goddammit.
Right, there's two things that remain truths, a hard truth for Renee. You get a terrible wig in the future, and because your hairline is trash, and you'll always be a snitch. So there's that. I mean, it's just like, there's just two things that just... Those are realities. Those are realities there. So, but what I do appreciate about this is hopefully that I do want Zoe to be alive in the future, because I think I like the idea of having her there with the rest of the canaries and stuff like that. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But I did find that interesting to see that now we're here training the future. But then it also goes back to what we were saying before. Again, more part of the monitor's plan, right? Because all of this stuff is happening, and then him just having him show up at the end, talking to Laurel about, if you want your world to survive, you got to betray Oliver. And you're just like, so...
It's a pretty good plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good plan, but here's the thing. If you knew that Laurel was going to be there, then he has to know what Oliver and them are planning, which then goes, all of this is part of the plan.
Exactly.
Right.
We talked about that last week.
Right. All this is part of the plan. The idea of the little, and again, it's the subtle things that they do, and the same thing with this in Flash, to tie into the larger piece of running towards crisis. The idea of bringing Curtis in to have him run analysis on that piece of fabric that was almost destroyed in and by the energy when Earth 2 was destroyed. Having them go and try to create this weapon, which obviously seems like it's part of the Monitor's plan to have Oliver with his team, with his daughter, with Connor, and with his daughter and son, with Connor and Connor, William, and Mia, to go and get this this plutonium in Russia, again, greatest hits, to then get this weapon that can destroy a cosmic being. Like, this all feels like it's part of the Monitor saying, like, all right, cool, I'm not going to fight against you to do this stuff. I'm going to make you feel like you're doing something different by tricking you along to do what I want you to do. Right?
I bet the weapon's something he needs anyway.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's something he needs. And so instead of asking Oliver to go do it, because again, you start asking Oliver, hey, I need you to go build a weapon that can kill a god. He's going to look at you like, and you're the good guy? So if you have him think you're the bad guy, he needs the stuff to kill you.
Doesn't matter how he got there, as long as we got there.
Right. This is the, and we already know that about the Monitor, right? We already know he doesn't care what the journey is. He cares about the end. What happens at the end? How do you actually do it? So that all makes sense to me. And so I'm intrigued by how I like how they're doing that. How you're still getting just like the Flash, you're still able to get the pieces you need for ending the series and having some closing off some of these character moments and with the characters, while also still going towards crisis. You know, the idea of, you know, we were sitting the entire time going, well, you know, Renee and Dinah didn't know about Mia. So now they do. You know, Diggle finding out and having that conversation with JJ. I mean, well, actually not JJ, with Connor. And basically going, hey, you know, as far as Diggle's concerned, he just met Connor. Like, young Connor. Not too long ago. And so, knowing that he has to take this kid, he's going to end up having to take this kid under the wing. And even that moment, I mean, it's not Jesse L. Martin fatherhood moments, but when he let, when he called when he called Connor son, I was like, oh man, you could tell that meant a lot to Connor right there. He needed that. Cause he kept calling Diggle dad, and you can see how uncomfortable Diggle was getting. It's like, I only got one son that I'd never talk about. I can't have two sons. I can't do this right now. So I think that works. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, have we?
The thought of the Deathstrokes came back with them.
Right, right.
I like that. Obviously, it wasn't them eventually, but they're so obviously time travel throws you off. Obviously, but I like how they can never get their footing.
Right,
they're still reeling over the fact that JJ killed Zoe. And now they got Deathstrokes in their faces.
Right, and it's not just Grant Wilson was, the person who started the Deathstroke gang, who basically kind of corrupted JJ, which also kind of goes to the idea of, again, was all of this part of the Bonders' plan to also kind of change that future as well for them? Because bringing them back in here, bringing Oliver back, because you got to think about it, right? If this doesn't happen, Oliver's not back in Star City. The Deathstroke gang and Grant, they start this move. They do all this stuff, and nobody's there to stop them. Because Oliver's gone. Diggle is gone too. So you've already brought in Diggle and Oliver to help Dinah and Renee stop the Deathstroke gang. Because if not, it's literally just Dinah and Renee. And Renee's trying to run a mayoral campaign, so he's not really in the streets like that. You don't have Connor there to kind of reveal that, oh no, this is the Deathstroke gang. He knows about that because he's noticed that the way of hiding the writing before. So like, if you don't bring all these people together, that future that they come from, it exists. That's exactly how it starts. It makes sense. So again, it seems like, just like when we were saying this last week with the Monitor bringing in Oliver and then having it so that Talia and now Thea are working together, this creates a whole new dynamic for your future going forward. And so it seems like not only is he, you know, getting the stuff he needs, but he's also kind of changing the future of this Earth. And if you think about it, if you're going to eventually then combine Earths and things like that, you now have a whole new future for this one Earth, this Earth Prime, if you will, going forward. So I don't know. When you start adding things together and you start seeing the different moving pieces, if you look at it just by itself, without the monitor, without the Rustic Wars crisis, it looks like, okay, cool, we just did this one thing and maybe the future will change and that's okay. But how did JJ and them, how did Connor, Mia, and William get back to the past in the first place? Something had to bring them back.
They don't have time for that kind of
worry. Huh? Right. They haven't had a chance to, right? They were literally reeling from, I mean, if you think about it, they were literally reeling from Zoe dying. Oliver literally just saying goodbye to his sister. You know, they didn't have time. Nobody had time to really sit down and go, how did you guys get back here? And also, like, the idea that, you know what? Everybody knows time travel is possible. So it's not even like it was like that shocking and impressive of a matter at that point. But at the same time, it's like, why, how did they get back here? Like, right. Was it the monitor? The monitor doing? And again, same thing with, because Oliver brought it up. He's like, when the monitor sent for Diggle and Oliver to be there, basically to confront their kids, right? But Laurel had to catch a flight to come back to Star City. He didn't bring Laurel. And they even brought that up. They were like, well, I guess he didn't really need her like that. But he has her separated and talks to her later on for his own separate thing. So I really do feel like we're seeing the monitor run. We're seeing Maru Naru like really run like multiple things here with Oliver. And Oliver thinks he's going down one path and thinks he's doing one thing. But I think that we're seeing that there's a whole other plan here that he doesn't see.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a good way for Oliver to go out.
No, yeah.
He's very much someone who solves a problem in front of him. Particularly when he can't, when he knows that he can't get his eyes in the big picture, he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna do what's in front of me. Right now, what's in front of me is the best line of the whole series. These are my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not, are these, not, these might be, not, I think that he looked at those kids and said, these are my kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, man. Good job. God, man.
Yeah.
This, Ollie season one couldn't have done that.
No. No. No.
But season eight, we watched Oliver Queen, and I know it's the point of the show, but I'm going to be kind of nail on the head here. We watched him turn into the Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
We really did.
Yeah. Not only that, but you got to remember, it's those are his kids, and those are the kids that he thought he would never see again.
Mm-hmm. Those kids he had made peace with never seeing again.
Right. So now
he accepted it.
Right. So now, no matter what happens, we're getting the greatest hits. We're also getting Oliver being able to, the character, we're getting Stephen Amell's greatest hits, right? Of him going around to some of the different places and seeing some of the other, you know, actors and characters he's kind of played against before, right? That's why you get China White, we get Talia al Ghul, we get these characters here. But as a character, Oliver Queen, we're also getting his goodbyes to different characters. We're getting the goodbyes to Thea. We're getting the goodbyes to Talia. We're getting the goodbyes, you know, to Mia and William and characters we know that, you know, from the timeline we had before, he didn't get to say goodbye to. And so now we're getting this moment, and now we see that it's not just a one episode thing, that I'm thinking we're probably going to be stuck with these kids until pretty close to the end, at least until a crisis. Because yeah. What future do they go back to? Because we're going to get back to the future. Because the other thing too here, right? They come back and they give Laurel and Dinah the idea, her to Canaries, potentially earlier than they were. So now you have the Legion of Heroes, the League of Heroes for Thea and Talia. Now you have Dinah and Laurel creating this, the Canaries, potentially earlier. I know, I honestly think that the whole, you got to betray Oliver Queen thing, I think that's going to be a smoke. It's not, she's going to do it, but I think it's going to be a smoke screen for
part of the plan.
Part of the plan. So,
and you got to remember, this all stems from last year's crossover when the monitor said, either those two die and Karen Barry or you die.
Mm-hmm.
And Ollie said, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of crisis maneuvering over in Flash. But
right.
I think this is the crisis shit. This is the prologue to crisis.
No, it is. Because, absolutely.
Because even without knowing shooting schedules and spinoffs and cancellations, you know Oliver's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Right.
You know that he signed up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings an urgency and a weight to everything that we watched that is been lacking in previous seasons. I remember last season, you and I mentioned the finale. We felt like the ending with his sister was kind of a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
We felt that, you know, as a standalone season, it didn't work as well. But once you pair it with this,
mm-hmm.
it works out for me a lot better.
Absolutely.
Because that same Zen Oliver who wouldn't kill his sister
mm-hmm.
is the Oliver we needed to go through this journey that we're watching now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. So, last thing I got to say, I got to bring up here. I'm with Curtis, yo. Nobody could mention the beard. Like, come on, man. Man grew a beard. You got to give Curtis some credit, yo.
I'm glad that Curtis hasn't changed at all.
Oh, yo, I have my notes. Oh, Curtis, how we have missed you. We really have. The Holton Smoke 2.0.
He's the only one who survived. Actually, not Renee, too. Those are the only two who really thrived from that replacement team.
Yeah. 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 Holton
Smoke. Will we see Ragman before this whole greatest hits album?
I mean, we've seen his rags. What was it? He was Roy. What is he, Roy?
Yeah, I'm an investment banker in downtown Star City now. Yeah, just kind of.
Yeah,
going my life.
Yeah, just you know, just got to do what I got to do.
Was a weird year after you blew up the town. And I survived. That was crazy. Anyway, right. See you guys later.
Right. Holton Smoke 2.0. You know what I said when I was watching Curtis and William work together. It was that Paul Rudd clip with him going, "Look at us. Who would have thought it? Look at us. Not us. I thought that clip immediately when watching those two work together.
That's good.
I was like, that was so good. And Curtis is just, oh, man. Yeah, I love the fact that Curtis hasn't changed, man. It's just like, oh, man, how we missed him. You missed that erratic behavior, you know?
Yep.
He's like, he's under Shawshank. Wait, y'all don't have movies there? It's Curtis. Give me. Oh, yeah. Focus. I even love the fact that Wilm got kind of jealous. Like, man, I'm jealous, man. Curtis has a husband. He's like, got all his shit together. It's like, man, what's going on? Yo, man. We don't
see Curtis in the future either.
Yeah, we don't see Curtis in the future. So. Don't see Curtis. I did like the fact that we did hear. So we don't know particularly if Diggle died, but we did know he was at least alive long enough because he was. They all brought up their old and wrinkled. They're not old and wrinkled like they are in our time. What else was I gonna say? Renee overreacts to everything. It's like, oh, my daughter. I gotta go out and have ice cream with my daughter. I'm like, yo, dude, you got 21 years. Calm the fuck down.
Yo, but he also, like, that, no, I'm not, you know, my dislike for Renee would not allow me to co-sign that. That's fucked up. If he goes back and talk about his daughter is dead, guess what we're going to do? Hug his daughter. If I find out that Thor dies in a week, is what I'm about to do.
Yeah, hug Thor. Okay. But also, he's no, probably
I'm
to
not,
blame.
No, but I will not join you. I will attack Renee when it's needed.
I'm just saying he's also part of the problem.
Not he was one of those times, Chris.
His daughter would not. His daughter would not be fighting crime if he wasn't a corrupt politician. That's all I'm saying.
His daughter would be fighting crime if she wasn't babysat by the fucking Black Canary.
Yeah, well, there's that too. There is that.
She had a choice.
Right. I like how Dan was like, "You want me to top train here?" And it's like, nah, you might want to.
Yeah. It's like LeBron James Jr. being good at basketball. Of course he is.
Right. Oh, man.
Sorry, Jordan, kids.
So good. All right. You got anything else you want to say about this one, man?
Batshit insane. The future is the past. Who knows what's next? Will they send them back? Like, if we're changing the future, which I think we actively are, as long as we're changing the future, why would you send them back? Why wouldn't you send them back at the last act after Crisis to a new world that they've got to navigate, and let that be the series.
No, I think that's what it is. I honestly believe that's what it is. Yeah. I believe that.
Zoe's alive, and all this other good stuff's happened.
Yeah, I believe that. I 100% believe that.
Quietly, I bet they're just slowly like cast her in. They're gonna find a way to make this right, and I have all the faith in the world.
Yeah. Oh, I fully believe that the last act will be them going back to the future being different, and then the actress who plays Zoe is up there. Is it Zoe or Chloe? Can't never remember.
It's Zoe.
So the actress is Zoe shows up and it's like it looks completely different, or maybe she doesn't have that. Like something's gonna happen. Like we're gonna see it.
She's the mayor or some shit.
Right. We're with a bad wig.
See, look. I don't like Renee. I feel weird not joining you in this pylon, but I can't. I'm sorry.
That wig was terrible.
I appreciate that someone's getting that hate out. It's
well,
good.
I feel like if no matter what happens, whether I just want when the lasting legacy of Arrow, I want to be, no matter what, is that whatever show carries on after this, whether the Canaries or whatever, that somebody on some series has to carry on the bad wig tradition. Someone has to. It is a tradition. Like I want the last thing to happen behind the scenes is Stephen Amell walks up to somebody new and hands them this chest, and inside the chest is nothing but every single bad wig that's ever been on Arrow.
I think that now is when we let the wigs die. Let them ride off to an island into the ocean with Ollie forever. Let the CW grow as a network. Let the Berlantiverse grow as a universe. Roll Supergirl and Black Lightning all on the same Earth with the Flash and Batwoman. And no more bad wigs except for, obviously, on Batwoman.
Well, maybe that's what it is. Batwoman will carry the bad wigs on.
Yo, she wears a bad wig every time she puts a fucking suit on.
Oh, well, in that case, then, hey, the tradition carries on.
Ugh. I killed my own hopes.
You did. You did.
That's really depressing.
Anyway, folks, thank you guys very much for listening to the Super Tuesday Recap. Make sure you guys subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. That way you can hear some of other shows we got coming out in the mailbag and things like that. Stay tuned. We do have some special shows coming out that you're only going to be able to hear on the Super Tuesday Recap. So stay tuned for that. Again, folks, thank you guys very much for listening. Until next time, we are out of here. Peace.